Let me just express my own take on what we should be doing as philosophers of science. I think one of the most important tasks that we have is examining the relationship between the physical and the manifest image of the world. John Sullivan this morning already recalled Sullivan's name. I think, of course, that this task is important only if we address particular theories. For this aim, I think we need a precise, exact ontology for the theory in question. But at the same time, we need a very clear description of the so-called manifest image, which is relevant for the theory. I think one should put in cognitive sciences, conceptual analysis, and some descriptive metaphysics, which basically is connected to conceptual analysis. And then the idea is to try to group one and two. And the interest there is basically springing from the fact that very often, the physical ontology and manifest image are in conflict with each other. So we have to try to explain away the conflict. My thesis is the following. Mind you, this is very much work in progress, so that I would really appreciate questions and criticism. My take here is that since the wave function does not exist as a concrete entity, if we want to make sense of quantum mechanics as being primarily about stuff consisting of space-time, it is indispensable to refer to the ontology of events. It's sort of a minimalistic assumption we have to make. Do we need something more? And in particular, what is their relationships with powers within quantum mechanics? This is the plan. I will first suggest some arguments, general arguments in favor of the ontology of events in physics, and then I will try to briefly outline the main metaphysical theories of events that are in the market and their consequences for the ontology of quantum mechanics. Then I would show arguments to the effect that events can be regarded as the unifying trait of the three primitive ontologies of quantum mechanics. I will restrict my analysis to Bohm's theory and the two versions of Girardi. So this is something that I should be saying at the outset. And finally, events in the so-called instrumentalistic approaches to the wave function. In the last concluding section, I will try to comment on the relationship between powers and events. And the possible conclusion is that so there is an underdetermination of metaphysics by physical theories. Let us start with this comment, which may sound controversial to some of you. Obviously, physics has replaced most of our ordinary language concepts. Physics have transformed them into much more precisely defined notions. I mean, work, of course, takes its origin from our ordinary life, heat, energy, time, and of course has invented a wholly new set of concepts. However, I want to claim that this is not true for all such concepts. An event, I think, is a major counterexample. And so why getting interested in events? Well, because I think events belong to ordinary language and to space-time theories. Of course, in those theories, events are rather idealized. But being, you know, something that belongs to both languages and to both images, I think they're good candidates to connect these two images. So this is a first argument, a very general favor of metaphysics of event. I mean, think of the fact that all the sciences we know basically are historical. Cosmology, astrophysics, geology, biology, social history, individual psychology, all of them essentially refer to events that happen in temporal succession. And this de facto reversible order among time-like separated events, I think, is one of the main reasons to believe in an objective passage of time, which in it's essentially something that belongs to the external world, as well as something that characterizes our inner matter life. So I think events can just play a very important role in connecting time and natural world and time in our own mental life. And there's something that these two notions share, namely becoming. And becoming here is simply occurring events in terms of succession. So the claim here is that physics presupposes a notion coming from ordinary language. And that means that the meaning of, for instance, events should be taken into account. One advantage of this is just considering very trivial facts. Events occur by definition. The being is the happening. And notice that there are an essential ontological component of any space-time theory. And if you get clear about a few, of course I agree with this view that I've been defending together with Savid and Dennis Diggs, that becoming just is this successive, irreversible, world-line-dependent occurrence of events, and then there is objective becoming in the relativity domain, even though, of course, in the special theory of relativity, it's a merely local form of becoming. So another reason to get interested in events is that you get immediately some sort of theory about objective becoming. Maybe this is not sufficient for having a sufficiently robust notion of becoming, but I think it's at least a starting point. And of course the question is, what should we think and what should we hold about events in the ontology of quantum mechanics, in particular given non-locality? And so this is basically now a very brief sketch of what I found in the literature about the nature of events, what events are, and some of the consequences of these theories for the ontology of quantum mechanics. These are six views. I mean, of course, there are many more in the market, but what really matters to me is the fact that all of them refers to space time. There's the famous view by Quine, and Lenin, according to which events just are regions of space time. There's another view which is related to the former, and it's due to David Lewis, who claims, and this will be important for what comes later, events are properties of spatial-temporal regions. There is this other view by Jack and King. So properties are instantiated as substances in our language physical systems at some time space. And then there is this other view which insists on the primacy of dispositions in the sense that objects are bundles of primitive dispositions, whether relationally conceived or not, and events are their manifestation in space-time. Another view due to Chisholm and Meyer claims that events are states of affairs instantiated in a spatial-temporal region by an object, O. And if O is a physical system, states of affairs are bearers of modal properties like being, possible, necessary, etc. So this is the idea that there is a physical state of the world. And then there's another view, which is somehow contrasting to Ford, which takes events as primitive entities that occur again. And objects are sort of monotonous sets of events, and dispositions are constructed out of them. Now, what really matters to me is that space-time is really obviously central in the metaphysics of event. So all of these views, which in my opinion simply make explicit some implicit haunting commitments of the way we talk about the world, ordinary concepts, they all refer to space-time. Therefore, they are also quite plausible candidates for a primitive ontology in the theory that we call quantum mechanics. Again, good candidates to connect the ontology of the theory with our own experience. Another question is, and this is, I think, more complicated and possibly not very easy to answer, primitivists regard event more important than dispositions. The converse holds for the other view. Dispositions are primitive, more important than events are their manifestations. But can we choose between these two theories on the basis of quantum mechanics? And now let's get to claim that events are the unifying traits other three primitive ontologies are defended by Bohm's and Giordani's versions of the theory. I should say these are different theories. I mean, relative to standard textbook quantum mechanics. The real problem here, it seems to me, is whether the ontology of quantum mechanics simply involves events, or, you know, is committed to something that we call quantum state, denoted by the wave function. So, on the left-hand side, you see GOW flashes, mass density localizations, and this seems quite plausibly classifiable as events. In Bohm's quantum mechanics, we have trajectories. Those are the simple ontological ingredient of the theory, and you can construct these trajectories as succession of events. And then you have wholly anti-realistic views about wave function, defended by, first of all, of course, Bohr, lately by Rovelli and Rudolphark, as well as by Thomas Bashby in a very recent paper. So the idea here is that you could have three different forms of wave function realism. You could claim that there is a sort of indirect realism about psi. So psi denotes some sort of disposition or properties. Then you could defend Tim's view about some sort of nomological realism, where the notion of law is primitive. All else is basically derived and understandable in terms of this primitive notion of law. And then there is this famous configuration space realism, which I'm not going to discuss, because in my view it's quite difficult to find the connection between the two images. So it's quite easy to see that in the GRW theory, as well as in the Bohm's theory, you can have events. I mean, think, for instance, of flashes. I mean, those are events by definition. Localization of density of star is easily classifiable as events. And again, you could claim that an ontology of events grounds the continuous world lines traced by particles, because particles are, at certain points, are physical entities, events, and world lines are a continuous collection of events in Newtonian space-time, which represent a spatial-temporal career of particles. So it seems to me undeniable that you can construe the ontological commitment of these three theories as being theories about events, and at least this seems like a necessary assumption of the theory of these three primitive ontologies. And of course the question is, are there only events in the ontology of GRW? This is where I think the problem becomes really hard, because you could try to beef up this ontology by going dispositionalist about laws. You could defend, as I was claiming before, nomic primitivism as a general stance about laws, which in particular implies the reality of nomic entities, and therefore the reality of the wave function as something referring to a nomic entity in the world, which exists independent of our mind, of our language, and the third notion that I mentioned before. So events are very, very promising candidates to connect this to images, but again, the problem is whether they are sufficient or not. And here I am taking inspiration from Bradley Monton's paper, where he claims that the wave function does not exist on its own, but it corresponds to a property possessed by the system of all the particles in the universe. Here, of course, the question arises, is this category of property something that we should decide, as Tim was claiming this morning, or is it something that physics itself presupposes in order to make sense of a physical theorization? It's more difficult to defend this view in referring to properties, but I think that when you refer to event, the notion of event, it's very difficult even to construe a physical thing without presupposing these sorts of entities. Anyway, in this position, it's a property possessed by the system of all the particles in the universe. You could even claim in a more realistic characterization of the one state, not the weak function, but what the weak function refers to is the property of a stress beta system. It's a new property, of course. It's something that's totally novel with respect to classically conceived properties. Again, of course, the question here hinges on, in part, what I was previously calling this primitivist dispute. So dispositions are properties of all particles, as we will see, can be easily adapted to the three primitive ontologies. And I think it makes quite good sense to do so. We have defended immediately this view about G of W. You can conceive this property of the universal configuration of particle as a disposition represented by psi. And the realism is indirect because what really exists are spontaneous. Here it's very important to underline this word. These are spontaneous dispositions of all particles. In the case of the density of stuff interpretation, there are spontaneous dispositions to localize, and the localizations are events. But you need both. You need both. And dispositions, you need both because dispositions, and we were here in this morning, perform all the dynamical roles of the equation, and importantly, ground objective probabilities. Given that dispositions are time asymmetric, we also sort of understand why there is this sort of relationship of grounding between dispositions and objective probabilities. One might think that spontaneous dispositions are sort of dubious beasts, because you always need stimuli, and then something that is, so to speak, causally interacting with the stimuli and then the manifestation. But I don't see why, in a theory that believes in indeterministic, in an indeterministic world, one should not have a spontaneous disposition. Think of radioactive materials. And Michael and Dürr and Lazarowicz have defended dispositionalist account in Bohm's theory, and this is important for what comes after. The universal wave function at a certain time t is a dispositional property of the configuration of all the particles that manifest itself. This is the manifestation and the velocity of each particle at t. So that given the guiding equation, the wave function expresses how this property manifests itself in the temporal development of the position of the particles. So see, also in this case, you can insert a dispositionalist ontology which somehow complements the event ontology by putting in the nomological component of the theory. Whether this is really an addition, of course, is a problem that needs to be discussed. Now we get to a second form of quantum state realism. The idea is to conceive laws as primitively real. And if this is the case, then there are laws in the world. And if we regard psi as an nomological entity, then a fortiori necessarily also psi, denoting a quantum state, is something that exists in the world. But I have a hard time to make sense of this view, Tim. I don't know what a primitive law of nature is, and I'm sure you're very conscious, aware of this problem. Namely, we can try to define what a primitive law of nature is. But as soon as we define this notion, we use other notions, and the notion then of law of nature is not primitive any longer. I'm trying to make sense of this, and probably I'm completely wrong, by claiming that a law of nature is an irreducibly primitive nomic local fact, or a world property of all physically possible worlds. And all the other notions, counterfactual models, are derived from the notion. But there is an interesting connection between dispositionalism and primitivism, vis-à-vis holism in quantum non-locality. This is something that Michel and I have defended in the recent paper. Namely, in dispositionalism, as well as in non-primitivism, In dispositionalism, the disposition question is instantiated by all particles of the universe. And of course, the laws are spatio-temporal universal. So is there any difference at this point, one may ask, between dispositionalism and primitivism in the quantum case? Because if there is a disposition which is instantiated by all particles of the universe, this is simply a law. So there is no difference, it seems to me, between primitivism and dispositionalism vis-a-vis the sort of holistic nature of the quantum world. Because again, a global property of all particles of the universe is a way to cash out the notion of universal law. Oh, there are, of course, differences which should be noted here. And this helps us to understand in what sense the quantum state is real, what does it mean to be able to the quantum state is real. In my view, the notion of law is very unclear, and if you make it into primitive, you don't understand what you should try to understand. Of course, Tim is very well aware of this problem. And it seems to me that if you turn laws into primitive notions, you're going to generate a following dilemma. If laws are like ante rem universals, then they are abstract features of the universe. And if they are in re, they look like concrete properties or dispositional properties, relational properties of physical entities. So, in this sense, I think Tim is basically committed to claim that laws are abstract entities. Or I can make sense of this view, in other words. Because if he defends this view, then there seems to be no difference between dispositionalism about laws and primitivism. Another argument that could be sort of petitio principio in favor of dispositionalism is that if you accept the view that true propositions, or approximately true propositions expressed by scientific laws, need truth makers, then it seems to me that events and dispositions fare better than primitivism. Again, one may object that if you introduce truth makers, you're not really making laws primitive. So this is possibly not a very convincing argument. But be that it may, I think that psi cannot be regarded as a concrete entity. If you embrace normic primitivism, while if you think that there are concrete properties, you can actually claim to have a better grasp of what is really existing in the physical world. So, in sum, before going to the next section, if psi is a nomological entity, or an entity living in configuration space, then it is abstract. And again, we need a primitive ontology in order to connect service to features. An ontology of events is a highly plausible candidate for a primitive ontology, in the case of Eastern theories, but the same holds for dispositions. While, of course, in the case of disposition and primitivism, the manifestation sort of secondary or derivative, I think, though that's at least prima facie, you need both events and dispositions. And maybe what comes before the other is a sort of pseudo question, as I will try to argue later. But, you know, at this point, one might object that events are also quite relevant in the instrumentalistic view of the wave function. In those views that basically claim that the wave function is a bookkeeping device. But what is also quite strange to notice is that also dispositions are relevant in this wholly instrumentalistic views of the wave function. And here are four main theories about events in not so recent literature, more recent literature. There's the textbook conception, of course. Events are the result of measurement outcomes with classical apparatus. Then there is a more recent view that Rovelli defended in his relational quantum mechanics. What's primitive in that view is that there are interactions between any two physical systems. This need not be classical. And what's really primitive are the outcomes of these interactions, namely events. Lately, Haag defended this unsharp view of organization as events, and partially as also taught the notion of localization as a property, and he believes that events are the main ingredient of quantum mechanics. I want to show now that also in this full-fledged anti-realistic position about psi, you can have dispositions. Everybody knows that Bohr's view of quantum mechanics doesn't work. There's no clear distinction between classical and quantum, no account of the measurement process. You have two temporal evolutions, but you can defend the claim that measurement results can be regarded as the manifestation of dispositions possessed by the microsystem. After all, Bohr was an entity realist, and this manifestation depends on the apparatus. So that in the case of Bohr, events are also crucial. But of course, it can still attribute these microsystems which classical apparatus interact with this notion of disposition. So also in this case, it seems that you can build metaphysics by relying both on dispositions and events, even though here you have a measurement problem that the other views don't have. Likewise with Rovelli. Rovelli is defending a view which is sort of intermediate between Bohr and Everett. According to Rovelli, as I was mentioning before, the interaction of physical system need not presuppose that one of the systems is classical. No reference to observers, but unlike Everett, there is no reference, no belief in the reality of the quantum state. This is a very operationistic view, but basically is a view that is widely defended in the physics community, which is not a reason to believe in this view. But the problem with Rovelli is that he has no account of the measurement process because he believes that the notion of interaction is primitive. So I believe that's not something we need to explain. And of course, I don't agree with this, but I'm just trying to make sense of this view. And he still has the problem of the two temporal evolutions. You have this sort of linear Schrödinger's equation, which is applicable whenever you don't have an interaction. But whenever you have an interaction, you don't explain why, but there is an event, lo and behold, some sort of definite matter of fact in space-time. But even in this case, it's not completely crazy to claim that Rovelli can still hold the view that unmeasured or non-interacted with systems have dispositions to reveal certain definite properties in space-time. So even in this case, you can talk of dispositions, you can talk of events, and so it seems that the fact that we have events and dispositions is not really something that can help us to discriminate between these two views. It really depends on what else the theory tells us. Haag, one of the world experts in the algebraic approach to quantum mechanics, position, he says it's not an attribute of particles. Only events, again, see as upcoming interactions at a position that is as sharp as it is permitted by the energy momentum transfer. And this is a quotation. What do we detect? The presence of a particle or the occurrence of a microscopic event? We must decide for the latter. The detector fulfills two functions. It offers a target for the collision process, a macro event, which is almost always the ionization of some molecule in the detector. Secondly, it gives the amplification to visible dimensions via a chain reaction. But even here, you can introduce dispositions and claim that these physical systems that have not been interacted with possesses this disposition to being revealed and to manifest a certain position. So again, it seems that even in this case, dispositions are not against a view like this. And I can skip this and introduce Pashby. Pashby claims that apparently there are no dispositions, we only have events. And he claims that the changing quantum state, given the dynamics of the theory, does not describe the changing properties of some physical object. It's a bit and not an it, but it's a bunch of things we know about the world given previous experiments, but it's not really something that describes physical reality. And he claims that the probabilities supplied by the quantum states are probabilities for the occurrence of events, again, so that observables do not refer to properties of events. Another quotation from Pashby: localization experiment can be interpreted as a conditional probability for an event to occur in some region of space, given that it occurs at some time. But I don't see why, also in this case, we cannot interpret the nature of the measured entity as a bundle of dispositional probability that afterwards manifests themselves in a certain event. So, we seem to have the same sort of ingredients in one very anti-realistic position about the wave function and in different views about the wave function which actually solve the measurement problem. So, it seems that if you start just from these two categories, you cannot make any difference between different theories in the quantum world, of the quantum world. So, we might actually also ask another question. Can we choose between an ontology of events in minor dispositions on the basis of available theories of events in quantum mechanics, or maybe the theories and dispositions of quantum mechanics? And it seems to me that the answer to this question is no. And so now the following question is, can we choose between these two ontologies? Do we need both of them on the basis of purely conceptual analysis? And if you remember the classification that I gave before, it's also dubious that we can do that, because if we take for granted that this is the right view of the notion of events, events are properties of reduced space-time. And if properties basically are the causal powers of the regions, then you can basically identify properties and events. So that you really don't even need two different ontological categories. So that I don't know how to choose between this. I'm not an expert in metaphysics of event, but we have the possibility to choose this second view. And if we adopt that second view, basically, you don't have this dual ontology. You only have an ontology of properties, which is also an ontology of events. So these six views do not rule out powers, but if you adopt the second view, you don't even rule out events. There's one and the same thing that really goes on in the quantum model. And of course, you may want to say, no, they're not the same thing, because events are properties of spatial-time probabilities, okay. But if that's the case, these properties have to be constructed as causal, and so there are dispositions. But again, the difference is that you seem to have different notions of laws, because the notion of disposition seems much more at home in, if you want to try to come up with an ontology for laws. While if you choose events as primitive, so you still want to differentiate between the two views, it seems that you're much closer to unionism. But again, if the two categories can be identified, it seems to me that you cannot use this dispute between unionism and, and primitivism in order to, or even dispositionalism, in order to decide between these two theories. So even if you make appeal to laws, it seems to me that it's hard to prefer one ontological category to the other if you adopt Lewis' view of events. And then you might want to claim that events are much more suitable to an ontology which admits temporal mechanics, because events occur and they have a temporal separation and that gives you becoming. But again, if you adopt that view, events are properties, and the succession of events can be regarded as succession of instantiation of properties. And also in this case, it seems that the two categories can be translated one into the other. So the conclusion is that the metaphysics of events, the metaphysics of dispositions, are two equally plausible ontological readings of the theory, and if that's the case, then physics underpins metaphysics, at least in the case study that I have discussed. You could even try to unify these two categories. So, again, it's not clear that you can claim that one is more important than the other. So, as a general take-home message, I think that one should always keep in mind some sort of healthy skepticism about the metaphysical enterprises of trying to base these faults, by the way. We were saying before that if you have your pen drive like a bracelet, then you never lose it. But something in conclusion, it's not true. So if you have this sort of attitude that tries to read metaphysical theories out of physical theories, it seems to me that you ran into this problem. I think events are plausible metaphysical posits, but it's hard to differentiate them from dispositions. And it's not clear which one of the two is really primitive. So the question is, how should we be doing metaphysics? Because even if we think that there is an equation, there is a quantum state, and we should not bring in old Aristotelian categories, we have to interpret the equation. And if you want to interpret the equation, it seems to me you have to use some of these categories. But I don't know how, basically, you can do without these categories, even though these categories, again, cannot be fixed by the physical theory. So I think I should stop here.